Today is Sunday, July 7th, 2019, and this...
You guys are going to get a prime spot just off the Las Vegas Strip at The Link.
I'm so excited about this prime parking spot.
Is 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 698.
Las Vegas, I'm just thinking of all the amazing times that we've had here in Las Vegas.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
You're gonna give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you dig that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Money, we're gonna be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas is waiting.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. How are you in the post-Vegas recovery mode?
Oh,
we were in Vegas, for those of you who are unaware.
Yeah.
And now we're back.
I feel a little jet-lagged.
A little jet-lagged?
Yeah. And look, my sleep schedule's off. My meal schedule is off. I'm a mess.
I'm a little off as well. Takes a while.
Yeah. But it was a fun time.
It was a very fun time. We had many fun adventures. We'll be talking about some of them today and some of them next week. And hooray. What a wonderful day. It's also a wonderful day because I'm just feeling so happy for the long-suffering fans of the U.S. women's soccer team. Some of them they got to see their team win the World Cup today. And some of them have been with this team for as long as like 2 or 3 weeks. Suffering the trials and tribulations. So their fandom finally paid off. So happy for them.
You sound
they
elated.
Really, oh, they deserve this so much. All right. Before we jump into some Vegas stuff, this podcast is listener supported, as always, by our lovely Patreon patrons, including Jesse King, Jeremy Iverson, Mari Zufel, James Ostrom, Dale. See, I was doing so well, and then I fucked up a name. Dale Uselton, you think?
Sure.
Marty. I like when people don't include a last name. It makes it so easy on me.
Mm-hmm.
And John Gregg. Thank you to these and all of our Patreon patrons. We appreciate your ongoing support of the show. We filmed a bunch of videos in Vegas. So those will be posted each week, as I've been doing for a while. I just queued a couple up, including... a tremendous, tremendous snapshot of the magic of Fremont Street, which will go up in a few weeks. So much fun. Such a scene.
Mm-hmm. It definitely captures the vibe.
It does. You can visit patreon.com/500 for all the details. I'm also going to be a packing and shipping machine here soon, getting all of our pins out to people too. So keep an eye on your mailboxes for those in a week or two. And hooray. Okay, so let's get caught up on a little bit of Vegas news from the past week, and then we'll talk about our trip. Mostly entertainment news this week. You may recall a couple months ago, the lovely Dionne Warwick performed a run of shows at Bally's in the, is that thing still called the Jubilee Theater? I think it is.
I think so.
In the Jubilee Theater. And
that's what people, I mean, if you say that, people will know what it is.
Yes, I think they still are calling it that for now.
Even if it has a different name.
She must have sold some tickets because she's signed on for a longer stretch at Caesar's Palace at Cleopatra's Barge. Much smaller venue.
Yes.
Would be kind of cool to see a legend like Dionne Warwick in Cleopatra's Barge.
Yeah.
I like what they're doing with that venue. They've
I
got
do too.
Wayne Newton, Dionne Warwick, they had Paul Schaefer doing some shows there. They've had some different things come in and out that are interesting and well suited for that size venue. So we've a lot recently we've been talking about kind of the cool throwback lounge shows, and this is yet another one to see somebody like Dionne Warwick perform in a small venue. She has announced 62 shows. So this isn't just one of those like you know, eight show, just a series of mm-hmm. weekends over the course of 2 months or something. She's doing 62 shows between September 5th and February 29th. It's an 8 p.m. show. Now, because it is such a small venue, tickets are very high. I think this is probably a little too high, but I don't know. Maybe they'll be able to make it work. $125 for general admission and $150 for VIP, plus Ticketmaster fees, which are going to tack on another 33% or so. So, yeah, the small venue thing is cool. I don't know. I'm not sure if that's a reasonable price point mm-hmm. for her. Seems like it might be a bit high. I would say like 80 would be reasonable, but what do I know?
We'll see. I mean, like you said, small venue.
Yeah.
Very well-known name.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So that's kind of a cool thing. Happy to see that happening at Caesars. There are a couple, I guess, lesser shows.
Yeah.
That are moving around a little bit. There's a lot of these, like, music-based, burlesque-y, sexy dancer shows. You know, mm-hmm. you've got X Rocks at Flamingo, and mm-hmm. then there's a bunch of X shows. I don't know if X Country is still at Harrah's. But these shows, a lot of them come and go, but here are a couple that have been around for a little while at least. There's one called Little Miss Nasty that's been performing at the fantastic showroom at Hooters. I have no idea. It might be a wonderful showroom. I've never been there, but Hooters is, you know. Mm-hmm. It seems like it would have been well suited for Hooters, but anyway, for some reason it's leaving. It's going over to Rio. Is a move from Hooters to Rio an upgrade or a downgrade?
That's hard to say.
I don't have any idea at this point. Maybe it's just mm-hmm. different. It's neither an upgrade or a downgrade. There's a venue over at Rio. We discussed it when it opened and haven't thought about it since. It's called 172. It's a rock club. I've been keeping an eye on the schedule because when they first announced, they had some interesting acts coming in that were like known bands. Mm-hmm. And now it seems like not so much. Mm. They've got a lot of tribute acts and cover bands and things like that. As far as I know, this is the first ongoing show they're planning on having there. So Little Miss Nasty reopens on July 26th at 172. Tickets are $37 and $47 plus Ticketmaster fees. It's not a regular schedule. Like, they have a bunch of dates scheduled, but it's not the usual Thursday through Sunday. It's just kind of scattered dates. So if you're interested in this, check littlemissnastyofficial.com for all the details. And I can already tell so many of our listeners are scrambling to their browsers mm-hmm. to look at the schedule for Little Miss Nasty. If you're lazy and just want to go to a show at Hooters that's kind of similar, you're in luck. There was a show that we discussed a while ago. It was briefly at Tropicana called Cherry Boom Boom. Similar show, rock and roll, music, dancers, semi-naked, I guess. That is moving to the Hooters showroom. It hasn't been in Vegas for a while. I think it's been in L.A. That's opening on August 15th. That show is Thursdays through Saturdays at 11 p.m. Tickets are $45 and $55 through the Hooters box office. I think they sell tickets online as well, because that's how things are done these days. But it's not Ticketmaster, so you might not have to pay as much. All right, if you're a fan of Vegas nostalgia and history and music and all these things, and who isn't, you'll be happy about this next piece of news. A new CD box set is coming out that commemorates Elvis Presley's legendary run at Las Vegas. Well, I was going to say Las Vegas Hilton. It was actually the International Hotel at the time. Mm-hmm. 11 CDs with 11 complete shows. So lots of Elvis in Vegas stuff. Cool. I hope it's on Spotify so that I can, maybe there'll be some
clips that you can pull for the show.
I've listened to a few Elvis concerts. Some of these have been released before in other formats, or at least like partially. And I've heard bits and pieces of Elvis in Vegas. I don't think he was one to do a lot of Vegas specific banter. Like, I mean, his banter with the crowd was specific to the shows, but it wasn't like, you know, Elvis saying he just got off of a hot craps table or anything like that. So I'll give him a listen and maybe we'll have something good. But some of the shows have not been released before, some of the 11. So, and I think the way that some of the others had been released, it was piecemeal, like part of one show tacked on to part of another show for a compilation kind of thing. So if you're an Elvis fan, this is good news for you. Or if you just like, you know, the Vegas history of it, you might want to give it a listen. If you get the physical box set, there's also a 52-page book with all kinds of information and pictures and photos of memorabilia and stuff like that. It's coming out on August 9th, so keep an eye out for that if you are an Elvis in Vegas fan.
I'm surprised they didn't wait a week for his August 16th, was it, when he Maybe they're trying to time that where it isn't on that day.
Yeah, it's called Elvis Live 1969, by the way. There's another box set coming out that's not Vegas related as well. So lots of Elvis stuff.
So the International, which became the Hilton, which is now Westgate.
Yes.
Can we talk about how shanty their signage is?
In between, it was LVH.
LVH, which had was
as shanty.
Also terrible signage.
Yes, you were you. I've you know we've seen it before, but you pointed out while we were waiting for
the monorail.
We took the monorail. We also videoed that, so that'll be coming up. So a nice little monorail trip. But yes, you pointed out the legendary Las Vegas Hilton sign, that giant marquee they have. How shitty it looks now.
Yes.
Is it just because the Westgate logo is so incredibly basic?
Yes. I was telling you that it reminded me of those pop-up Halloween stores, like Spirit does. Halloween.
It totally does.
Like, they just put, like, a black sign
for one
made
month,
out of cloth.
For 1 month, this abandoned storefront is going to be used for Halloween garb. Mm-hmm.
That's what the Westgate sign looks like to me.
Yeah.
For 1 month, this hotel is going to be the Westgate. And it's just, like, it's just so blah.
And the yellow letters is very yellow for a long, I don't know if it still is for a long time. That was the color of like generic products at the grocery store.
Yeah.
It was yellow and black.
Yes.
And so it feels, it's like, yeah. Here is generic resort and casino.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It just looks bad.
Yeah.
There's no design element to it whatsoever. It's very temporary and very tacky.
I know. I agree.
All right. Thanks for listening to my thoughts.
Hey, not a problem. Drop any more of your observations in as you see fit. I always love your, I would not have noticed that, and I enjoy when you share your rage with us, with everyone, yeah. Because they're used to me bitching about stuff. One final news item. There is a new bar coming to the Link, and it's kind of familiar. It's the people who run Minus Five, which is the ice bar that currently has locations at Mandalay Bay and Venetian. The new location is just going to be called Ice Bar. It's going to be opening in November. Apparently, according to Eater, Sprinkles Cupcakes has closed. That happened a couple days ago, and this is replacing that. So if you want to, this seems like a good fit for the Link.
Yeah.
To have an ice bar there. Like, you know, it's...
If it's their other stuff.
Yeah. And I don't have, like, ice bar, it's very sticky and very... And we've said before, no interest to us because we live in a frigid hellscape half of the year.
But for people who don't.
Yeah, it's a novel thing to go to an ice bar, and I think like the glasses and everything are carved out of ice. It's kind of a neat thing. It seems like it fits in with that scene that's happening at the Link. You know, it's kind of I was going to say it's kind of a touristy area. We're talking about the Las Vegas Strip. Yeah,
right,
yeah.
The whole thing is kind of a touristy area.
The Link is the touristy area. No, but it's kind of, it has that kind of, like that's where they have that like pop-up shop where you can go in and take selfies in front of it. It's it's super
the
touristy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it fits in really well there. So there you go. It's opening in November.
It's not like Wynn, where an ice bar would be kind of weird.
Right. Yeah. In certain places it fits, and in certain places it probably wouldn't fit. And at the Link, it seems like it's a good fit. So it'll probably do quite well. All right. Before we jump into some of our trip reports. Do you
remember? I don't remember fucking anything, man.
All right. We're going back to 2013. There was a show that opened in December of that year at Palazzo. We had a lot of fun. with it when it opened because it's such an odd, it's still
odd
thing.
This name.
Panda!
Panda! Exclamation point.
The show captured the magic of pandas and kung fu in a story that was intended to amaze and inspire its audience. So I have to read the description. Panda follows the heroic quest of Long Long, a warm and caring panda, on a quest to rescue his beloved peacock princess from the malicious demon vulture who has kidnapped her on their wedding day. A lot happening there.
Mm-hmm.
In the face of desperation, Long Long seeks counsel from immortal old Kung Fu Man. That's the character's name. You'd think they'd come up with something a little less obvious than old Kung Fu Man.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they had a working name for the character and didn't bother to give him an actual name.
Yeah.
Who prepares him for the dangerous mission to save his true love. Confronted by hardship, danger, pain, and temptation, Long Long must overcome universal obstacles to defeat Demon Vulture and restore peace and balance. What the fuck is that all about? I don't know, but it had really good reviews. People seemed to really like it.
And it wasn't immersive.
No, I don't think it had. Oh, by the way, both Cherry Boom Boom and Little Miss Nasty on the web, on both their websites, they are described as immersive, in case anyone's keeping track.
Does that mean there's going to be some motorboating?
If anybody knows if there is, I'm not really usually a big fan of audience participation in shows, but if there's motorboating in Cherry Boom Boom, please let us know and maybe we'll consider reviewing it for a future podcast.
That would be immersive.
Sure would. Panda lasted for about a year and then it moved on. So Odd Show lasted longer than I guess I probably expected at the time. And that's okay though. Vegas is good for a little weirdness once in a while.
Panda.
Kung Fu and pandas all in one magical show. All right. So
I didn't catch on like Rehab did though.
No. Okay, so let's start chipping away at some of our trip report stuff for our beloved listeners. So this is a hodgepodge of observations, experiences, things that we did on our trip. We stayed downtown this time, which we try to do in the summer generally because it's not quite as brutal walking from location from place to place. Location. But we did spend plenty of time on the Strip as well. So
we were on the Strip at one point and we're like trying to figure out stuff to do and we're like, we could go here. No, that's too far to walk. We could go here. Oh, no, that's way too far to walk.
It's 1,000 degrees outside. Let's just sit here and stay cool and have another drink. All right, so let's start with a few observations from downtown related to Fremont East, just some things that we noticed. A couple bar updates. So there's a bar, we haven't talked about it often, at least not since it first opened. It's called Red. It was kind of a sports bar by day, pseudo nightclub at night.
Mm-hmm. And then they had these giant gaming stations.
Did they?
I think so.
Even after it was... Because it used to be Insert Coins.
Oh, that's right. But did they keep those?
Fuck, I don't think so. I don't know.
Okay.
They had the booths and stuff, but I don't...
Yeah.
I don't think they sold video games.
Okay.
Anyway, Red took over the Insert Coin space when that closed. And they didn't do a ton of remodels in there. It looked very, I mean, didn't have all the video game, the arcade games and stuff. So it looked like it was very basic in there.
Maybe I'm thinking of during the NCAA tournament, they had giant TV screens showing the basketball games. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, Red is no longer Red. Like the whole outside had been painted red to go with the name of the place.
Uh-huh.
And that was the first thing that we noticed walking down Fremont Street is like, oh, that's not Red. And the big sign that says Red was gone. And the thing was just a generic, just painted black like it was when it was Insert Coins, but it had no signage other than the address on it, which is 512. And apparently, I'm like, well, I guess it's closed maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Went online, found that they're still using their same Red DTLV Facebook account to promote stuff. Like they haven't changed the name on there or anything, but in the descriptions, they are calling the place 512 Nightclub. And it looks like a lot of the things they're having at night, at least, are the same as they were previously. So there's some sort of transition going on. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening, but it has a new name now.
Yeah. The first time we walked by, we thought it was closed permanently. Yeah. And then we walked by
open.
A few nights later.
It was open, but there weren't many people in it.
Yes.
And they had ropes up, which seemed highly unnecessary.
Yeah.
I think they were having a hookah night or something at that point. So then across the street from that, the former Don't Tell Mama location, that was the piano bar that has since moved to Neonopolis. That is now, it looked like a clothing store.
Mm-hmm.
It says on the door, first of all, there's a sign above it called Not Found. And then on the door, it says Powered by Zappos.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, it's a pop-up Zappos clothing store, which I think they've done before. Like in the what's currently Corduroy, when that was
the check cashing place.
They would do occasionally just, they had office space and they would use it to sell t-shirts and stuff. That's what it looks like. I went online. The internet is so handy.
Mm-hmm.
I'll show you how to use it sometime.
Oh, thanks.
I found on there that apparently it's still a bar. It doesn't look like a bar at all. They do sell some clothing and stuff in there, but it's a bar, and they're going to change bar themes every so often. So right now, here's what I found about Not Found. They're describing it as an anthology series of fun pop-up experiences. It seems to me like this is just another place for Zappos employees to hang out.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what they're trying to do. So the concept is whenever you go there, it might be different than it was the previous time you were there. Season one, as they're calling this, has a theme of dirty laundry.
Will they be playing the Don Henley song all the time?
Oh, that would be horrible in so many ways. So it's kind of a cool looking bar based on the pictures. And then they have like mannequins with clothing on. I don't get what they're doing here.
I don't either.
The Zappos culture. It's
confusing to me. I know it's a great fit for some people, but totally, not for me.
And totally not a cult. Whatever you think about it, it is not a cult. So that's happening on Fremont Street. If anybody goes to this bar, we would love to hear a review. And if it's if it's like fun and welcoming, or if I don't, it's weird. You would think they'd, maybe it's the whole speakeasy concept. It's a bar, but we want to make it look like it's not a bar.
Mm-hmm.
I don't fucking know. The other thing then, I did a walkthrough, and I'll post video of this on Patreon sometime in a few weeks, but I did a walkthrough of Neonopolis because they've been saying, Neonopolis is like 90% full, which is
A bit of a stretch.
Yeah, 90% might be a bit of a stretch. There is a lot more in there than there had been previously.
Mm-hmm.
Neonopolis remains the worst designed structure I've ever seen in terms of like not knowing what's going on there or what it even is as you're walking by. They do have a new karaoke bar. It's called Cat's Meow, and I hate that name. But anyway, it's like above Denny's and that food court. That seems like a good addition only because when it's open at night, there's like, you can see the windows are open. You can see flashing lights and stuff. It looks like, oh shit, there's something happening here.
Yeah.
Which usually looks like, oh shit, there's nothing happening here. So to see some sort of life at Neonopolis is an upgrade. So anyway, I walked into the center area. Here's my thoughts on Neonopolis.
Okay.
So you go in, you have to go, it's not indoors, but you have to go into the interior part of the outdoor structure because you're not really enclosed, but you don't access it from Fremont Street. You have to go into the middle of the mall part.
Yeah.
It seems like if they were able to somehow use that open courtyard in the middle for something, it would be, it seems like it would be more, it would feel like more of a thing. Because you walk in there now and it feels like, ugh, this is shanty. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel like
necessarily. Am I going to get stabbed?
It doesn't really feel that safe because there's not a lot of people around in there. Mm-hmm. It's not lively. It's not really all that well lit. It just doesn't feel great in there.
Mm-hmm.
So I wandered around and there's a tattoo shop and there's a sports memorabilia store and a toy store and the cannabis museum is still open by some
miracle.
I don't know how. Upstairs there's Nerd, which is a video game bar in the old Drink and Drag location.
They're bowling.
Yeah, they still bowling. I popped my head in and there was nobody, no customers. There's like three waitresses standing by the door. Come on, please come in.
Please come in.
I'll stop back in a little bit. Thanks. There's the karaoke bar. Don't Tell Mom is there. I don't know. It didn't look like it was even open. So I don't know if that, I don't know. But it never looked like it was open when it was on Fremont East either. So,
yeah.
So there's a few things in there, but it's
still a long way to go.
Yeah. And like the third level, the escalator was completely shut down. I think that's where part of that space is used for esports. But again, there was nothing happening there. So yeah, there's more space being used at Neonopolis, but it's not. It's still not like, oh wow, this is a cool thing, a place to hang out.
This is a place to go.
Yeah. So there you go.
Is that where they have the axe throwing too?
There's an axe throwing place in there. Yes. Weird hodgepodge of shops, and some of that stuff seems like a good fit. But if you're not getting regular traffic through for other reasons, some of those shops are going to die off awfully quick. So we'll see.
Do you consider going to the axe throwing place when you were frustrated with gambling?
If I'd thought of it, maybe I would have done it. I forgot that it was there, but yes. We'll get.
Damn you, Ford of the Royal.
We'll get to gambling shortly too. We had different experiences. So on Fremont, Fremont Street Experience, where the canopy is, you may know that they are doing an upgrade to the Viva Vision light show. The new section is definitely like way brighter and way more vivid.
Yeah.
You do notice a difference. They're very limited right now. If you look at the schedule of the shows that they're running, because most of the older shows, the resolution isn't high enough to run on the new section, so they have dumped those. So hooray, we never have, well, unless they redo it, but we never have to worry about hearing and seeing the heart.
By we mean you.
Viva Vision show that seemed to be playing every single time I walked out on Fremont Street for a year.
Oh.
No more American Pie.
Oh, God.
No more any of those old ones. They have five shows that are in rotation. So they got Green Day, they've got Avicii, they've got...
Steve Aoki, Chainsmokers.
Yeah, it's a lot of the more modern shows, and I don't remember what the other one is, but there's five that are in rotation. So they'll be creating a lot of new shows. The Canopy is probably about a third done right now. And they're still running shows, you know, as they're under construction. They work like in their early hour mornings, so they don't disrupt too much of the traffic on Fremont Street. They're replacing the old white panels with black panels. It's an upgrade. My thing about the Canopy right now is the one thing I like about the Canopy is that it cools things down in the summer.
This is a benefit to me.
The biggest benefit is the shade it casts on Fremont Street during the day in the summer. I think that's a much better thing than even the light show. You know, I know they bring a lot of people down. I know that that's the benefit of the thing, but fuck that. It's the shade. That's number one in my book. So there you go. That's what's happening. They're filming a TV show. So I don't know if you've heard anything about this. The Fremont Street Experience is funding this television show that hasn't been sold yet. They don't know where it's going to air, but it's like a, I guess, some kind of a pseudo reality parody of some sort. So they've been filming it. So if you're down on Fremont Street and you see cameras around and things happening, it's probably for this television show. It's going to be like a 13 episode series. They're trying to sell it to Netflix and places like that. We saw them filming I mean, you can't tell a lot from seeing them film like one scene or whatever, but based on the costuming.
You mean like the guy who was the detective very much dressed up like a detective?
Yeah. Like you would see, I don't know why this comes to mind. I don't know if there was ever even, well, no, I don't think there was ever a detective on there. It seems like the type of detective you would see on a children's show. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, cliched, like hat slightly off kilter, jacket, like.
Giant khaki trench coat.
And even more cartoonish Columbo, you know, that kind of thing. I'm like, oh, this is going to be hokey as hell if they're able to sell it. I have a feeling we'll all be watching it on YouTube in 6 months. But I don't know. There's a lot of different outlets, so maybe somebody will pick it up. But I guess the intention is to drum up, you know, attention and visibility for Fremont Street.
Right.
But I don't know. We'll see. I'm curious to see it because I have a feeling it's going to be an incredible train wreck.
Do you think the plot of each episode will be, if we don't do this, the Fremont Street Experience could fail?
Yeah, probably. Like every reality show, they create some sort of false drama. And yeah, most likely. Maybe if it does actually get picked up and shown somewhere, we will have to resurrect the long dead reality show theater or whatever that thing was called, where we would reenact scenes from.
Was it American Casino?
One of those horrible shows that I watched every episode of faithfully back 10 years ago. So there you go. There's some filming happening on Fremont. Lots of construction. Circa is progressing very quickly. In fact, I'm softening my stance a little bit on
the date.
Yeah, I've been saying it's supposed to open in December 2020. I've been saying April. Now I'm back to about late January. It's really going
it's
up fast.
It's going up fast. It looks, I'm very excited about this.
So they might pull it off. If you haven't already, if you're interested in watching such construction, there is a webcam now. They've got a camera mounted high on Plaza, and you can sign up on Circa's website to get access to that, and you can see, and you'll, it's, they have the time lapse as well. Right now, as of yesterday, at least, the camera was offline. They didn't, it hadn't been updating for a couple days, but usually it's updating constantly, and you can see what's going on, and it's fun, kind of fun to see the progress from day to day and how quickly they are getting it done. They're working around the clock 6 days a week, and then Sundays, I guess they come in and do preventative maintenance. But as a result of that schedule, they're getting it done way, way fast. So going to be fun to see that continue to rise on the skyline. Downtown Grand expansion is also well underway. We wandered by there, and that structure, there's a lot of steel up there. That's a much smaller structure, of course. So that hotel is happening, that hotel expansion. So that's a good thing as well. And lots of fun to see the progress. In fact, when we went to the Strip, of course, you hadn't seen
Resorts World.
Yeah, Resorts World since January.
Right.
And we're like, oh,
that's tall big. Now.
That's yeah. a comment. Several people commented during this trip, just like unsolicited for some reason, about, wow, that's really, it's big. Mm-hmm. It's definitely a visible addition to the skyline.
Yeah.
So as that continues to rise, I don't know if they're topped out as far as the actual physical structure. I know they're putting the glass on it now, but it'll be fun to see that continue to progress as well in the next year or so before that opens. Hooray for new stuff, as mm-hmm. we always say. Lots of things to look forward to. Let's talk a little bit about gambling. Not going to be a big surprise to our listeners that we did some gambling while we were in Las Vegas.
We did indeed.
Yes. Mostly video poker, some slots, of course. I did not do well.
I did all right.
You brought home a little extra money, which mm-hmm. is always amazing to me that anybody does. Because it's been a while since I have. You had a tremendous run. Would you like to talk about that?
Sure.
So one of the things, you know, I'm not a big fan of people like posting pictures of their four of a kinds. Mm-hmm. And this is the reason why. As I mentioned one other trip, like I once hit 14 of them in a day. They're very streaky.
There can be a famine though. And there when you see one, it's very exciting.
It is happy, but it's still like, you know, it's not a royal flush where you're winning like $1,000 mm-hmm. or more. But it's still, unless you hit four aces with a kicker or something like that. But anyway, they're still very fun. And if you hit a bunch of them close together, you've suddenly had a very, very nice day.
Yes.
You had a very, very nice day.
Yeah. I like how you're like, tell us about this. And then you proceed to talk.
I'm not shitting on your four of a kinds. I think they're great. I'm just saying, like,
Don't tell me about your $30 jackpot.
Yeah, pretty much. But you didn't have a $30 jackpot. You had a series of very nice jackpots that all added up to be a nice little day.
Yeah. So I sat down.
A nice big day.
At Four Queens. And you were in the room taking a brief break.
Yes. I was like, I better walk away from gambling for a little while. Mm-hmm. That's where I was.
So I sit down. A couple hands in. I hit like four sixes or something.
Yep.
So I text you a picture. And then a couple hands later, I hit another like five through kings, like nines or
in
something.
In all fairness, I did mock you for sending me the pictures.
You did. You did.
Yes.
And I'm like, and then I said, do you want me to post them on the Facebook group? So, yeah, I'm playing. You come back and I hit four aces, no kicker.
Yep. Lovely like, hand.
All right,
very
this
nice
is
hand.
Nice. This will keep me going for a while.
Because that pays, what, $400? I mean, no, 100, no. 400 credits?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's $100. That's a nice mm-hmm. hit.
And then, a few hands later, I hit four aces with the kicker. So that was like $500.
Yes.
I'm playing quarter.
Very nice hit.
If I haven't said that. And I keep playing, and I end up with, like, what was it, seven?
I think you hit seven in,
four
a,
of a kinds.
In a period of about an hour.
Yeah.
Which was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
That was a great run.
Yeah, and I ended up cashing out $1,000.
And that was the highlight of our gambling.
That was fun. Yeah. I just wish it had been more fun for you.
Oh, I had a good time. I gambled a lot. I just didn't. And I had a few cash outs. I had four aces once, but I didn't without a kicker.
Other than that,
I was playing
it was
a lot
like,
of deuces wild, and I didn't hit four deuces at all, which is a drag.
Yeah, but I felt like I was feeding the machine a lot of the time. Here's a 20. 5 minutes later, here's another 20. 5 minutes later, I am done.
Yeah, that last day we both quit.
Yeah, early. That last day was harsh.
I had a for a couple different reasons, some of them unknown to me. I had an unusual amount of free play this trip, so. Because our trip straddled June and July, we had to take advantage of casino promotions in both months.
Mm-hmm.
And if you play, well, for people who don't play a lot downtown, downtown, unlike the Strip, still sends out a lot of free play offers if you play on a regular basis. So I had free play, and I regularly do a free play from El Cortez, Golden Gate, the D, and Four Queens. And I got to take advantage of it for both June and July. For some reason, the amount at Four Queens between June and July shifted. I don't know at what point I put in an unusual amount of play or something.
Mm-hmm.
for June was only $30 and for July it was $200. So it was a weird kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But anyway, between those four properties, oh, and then for some reason I got a $75 identity play at Cosmo out of nowhere. So between those things, I had almost $600 in free play over the course of our trip. So I was curious. I thought, oh, I'll do an old coupon run like they used to do on Travel Channel, mm-hmm. but just with my free play. And I tracked it all. And and then the other thing is Four Queens had a really good promo in June only, where for every 100 points you put on your card mm-hmm. in June, you got $10 in free play.
Yeah.
So I was playing the hell out of those machines the couple days in June we were there, and I got another $70 just for that.
And I was trying, but those were the days where I was just not getting happening. A lot of play out of my money.
So anyway, I tracked all my free play and how much, like if I played it through once and then cashed it out, how much that would have been. Of course, I didn't do that. I continued to play in most cases. But that $595 in free play, I turned into $725.
Nice.
That was pretty good.
Then what did you turn that $725 into?
Big goose egg. I gave it all back and more. But the two most successful uses of free play,
mm-hmm.
I have to take back a statement that I made not long ago about the Skywheel slot machines.
Oh, yes.
And I said I was kind of over them.
Oh, no, you are not.
I am no longer over them because the two free play, the best results of free play were, one was on the Golden Gate Crazy Money Deluxe Skywheel mm-hmm. machines, which I turned, let me check my notes, how much I turned that into.
You gave it back?
Before I gave it. Well, no, I actually did cash out. I ended up losing it somewhere else mm-hmm. or on a different machine. But I played that and I turned $20 into $120.
Nice.
And I continued to play after that and hit some more stuff too. And then at the D, they have the super.
This is great.
Yeah, you were there to witness this one. They have Super Skywheel. And we were strolling along and you said, oh, Super Skywheel. And I went, eh. And then I stopped and turned around and went back like I was drawn by a powerful magnet. It was like Franklin, one of those situations.
Yes.
$50, I turned that into $178 and then continued to play after that and was continuing to hit. I kept hitting bonus rounds and mm-hmm. cashed out $300 or $400 on the machine. And then I went back later and pissed away $100 without hitting the Skywheel once.
Aww.
As will happen. But, so Skywheel is no longer dead to me
mm-hmm.
and I'm happy to have it back in my life.
Spin the Skywheel once more.
Yep. Another thing we did that was gambling related was a slot tournament. Was this your first slot tournament?
I'm trying to think. Did I do one at Barbary Coast or not?
I don't know. It's been a while. So we both did a slot tournament. We participated in a slot tournament at the D. I had received a postcard invitation for this, and since we were going, I said, hey, I'll get in on this.
Mm-hmm.
And there was $50 for guests to sign in.
Mm-hmm.
So we got you in there as well. And this was different than any slot tournament I'd participated in. I've only done like half a dozen.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, first of all, best organized, most efficient of any slot tournament I've ever been part of.
Oh my gosh, they turned that stuff around so fast. It was impressive.
When we signed up, I was surprised because the rounds were only 10 minutes apart.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, how are they going to? Because normally once you finish a round, first of all, normally the round is 5 to 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then they come around and they write down your score.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how the hell are they going to do this? Well, the machines that they have, they're machines that are in regular, you can play them at any time, but mm-hmm. when they're in tournament mode, they're very different.
Yeah.
And they do all the work. It's like they spit out, instead of having to record the scores, they mm-hmm. spit out a coupon at the end.
Yep.
Or
a ticket,
and they collect those.
Number of points.
But
it also shows you what your standing is.
Yeah, so it's all tied into their system, so they don't mm-hmm. have to do as much work in terms of like recording scores and all that. It all shows on the screen. And the rounds are only 2 minutes each, and mm-hmm. I thought that was awfully short until we did it,
and then you're like, oh my God, I need a hand massage.
In addition to just hammering the spin button like mm-hmm. you normally do in a slot tournament.
Pounding the button.
They have a video screen, and shit pops up on the video screen, and you have to touch that for bonus points. So you're using both arms at the same time.
Yep.
And I was switching arms.
I was too.
And by the end, your shoulders are sore in mm-hmm. just 2 minutes.
Pounding the button takes a lot of work.
Pounding the button is excruciating. We did, so it was three rounds over the course of 2 days. Neither of us did very well.
No, they but also, it was fun.
They also had a thing where you could buy in, you could do a mulligan
round.
For $25, you could get one of your rounds trashed and, you know, have a replacement round.
Mm-hmm.
We did not do that. It probably wouldn't have mattered anyway because right. we didn't have any. If one of us had
a really good round, then maybe.
We didn't. But it was super fun.
Yeah.
So if I was going to do a slot tournament again, that would be where I would do it just because yeah. the machines are really fun and it's efficient and I didn't feel
so
like
well organized.
I didn't feel like I had to hang around yeah. all day. The first and second round were a couple hours apart
mm-hmm.
and then the next one, the third one was the next day.
Yep.
And I don't know. I thought it was really, really great. So
yeah.
Hooray for the people who run that mm-hmm. slot tournament. They did a good job of keeping it moving and it was really a lot of fun. Except for I could have done without the Heat Is On playing throughout the tournament. They need a new song that's not as tedious as Glenn Frey. We're really shitting on the Eagles this week, aren't we? All right. Anything else? Oh, Shark Week.
Yes.
We have to talk about the Shark Week slots.
I loved Shark Week. Oh my God. It was so good.
So this is a new type
the
of
slots,
machine.
Not, well, I love the TV show, but I don't really care for the euphemism. Anyway.
So Shark Week, they had, we saw a bank of slots at, you were playing the ones at El Cortez, and they also
yep.
had a bank at the D.
Yep.
It's a circular bank of machines in yes. both instances. You instantly liked these machines.
I did.
I did not play them. What?
There's something about it that's very soothing. The visuals are really well done. The sound is really well done.
I found the one bonus round very funny too.
Oh my God. So I hit one bonus round where you had to break the cage. So you would tap the screen and your hammerhead shark would go and break the cage.
And there's a guy, there's a diver in the cage. Yeah, it's like an underwater yeah. diving cage.
And it broke the cage and then the shark ate the guy.
A little morbid, but very funny.
Yeah. It was comical the way they animated it.
So you didn't actually see him eat the guy. The guy swims off screen, and mm-hmm. the shark follows, and then isn't there like a scream or something yeah. to signify?
Mm-hmm.
It was very amusing.
Yeah.
So that's the...
And they had different setups for the game. Like one was like a Brady Bunch 9-square thing. And then another one was like this weird octagon thing.
Like so the actual slot game.
Yeah, the slot.
I don't like those games where they have an unusually shaped, where yeah. like the first reel is only 2 squares and the next one is 3.
Yeah.
I don't like those where it's like...
It's not intuitive to me.
Yeah, I don't know why they do that with some of them, but...
Mm-hmm. The one thing that I didn't really like is sometimes you'll get a round where the timer will go off and they want you to bet more money. And I did not like feeling manipulated by that. Like
yeah,
if you bet more credits, then you can get more sharks at the end.
I haven't seen a lot of that before, but you pointed that out and it was, mm-hmm.
I was like,
I get why they're
doing
it.
Don't manipulate me.
Yeah.
I will play how I want to play. Damn it.
Yeah.
So they want you to play faster and they want you to play more credits. And one time I did get the shark bonus, but then
you didn't get suckered into playing more though.
No. No, the next time I was like, oh, screw this. I'm just
I don't like
how
the machines, and there aren't that many of them. Well, I haven't encountered that many of them. But the machines where when you try to cash out at the end, they don't let you cash out right away. There's
oh,
like,
yeah.
There's 30 more seconds where you could qualify for the bonus round. I'm like, yeah, but you know damn well the bonus round. It's those group machines.
Yep.
I was playing one of those fishing machines at Fort Queens, and it did that to me.
Paradise Fishing?
Paradise Fishing from a Agipe, or whatever the fuck mm-hmm. it says, over and over and over again.
While I'm Take me to down to the poker. Paradise Fishing.
So that was, I didn't notice really many new themed slots.
No.
Other than Shark Week. So we didn't do a lot of new slot playing.
Yeah. Ooh, can we talk about the renovations at View Bar briefly? I know a lot of people have taken pictures and posted to the Facebook group and called in about it and everything.
Yes.
One thing I would like to point out.
Yes.
They have purse hooks.
Yeah, and you rack your knees on them.
Yeah. It's a nice convenience to hang your purse because you do not want to hang your purse on the back of a chair because someone could just walk along and take your purse.
Uh-huh.
However, I have a beautiful bruise on my knee.
I rack my knee on the purse hooks too. Yeah, if they're not well positioned.
So, yeah. So be careful.
So there you go.
There's a travel tip that you can only hear on the show. Be careful with the purse hooks at View Bar.
Pull your chair out before you turn, because if you turn without pulling your chair out, you're going to rack your knee and it's going to hurt like a bitch.
Mm-hmm. It's better than racking other things, but...
Yeah, you're not going to rack your nuts on them. That's not going to happen. All right, so that's happening. Couple other...
And if you do, then you have a problem.
Yeah, you've got some weird nuts. Okay, a couple other quick things. We're going to hold some stuff for next week. But we went to Park MGM to check out House of Gaga because, of course, we are Lady Gaga fans and wanted to see her new store slash kind of museum exhibit. Yeah. That's a good word for it. And it is free to get in. The crowds have died down now. That's been open for a little while, so you can just show up and wander.
You could just walk in.
There's no lines. Before a show when she's performing, there's probably going to be one.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
I loved it.
I did too. It was really well done.
It was really cool.
There's probably about, I don't know, 15, 20 dresses in there on display in glass cases.
There are a few on the outside.
And make sure and look up.
Yes.
As well, because they have three or four mannequins with outfits hanging from the ceiling, and I almost missed a couple of them.
Mm-hmm.
They've got wigs, they've got shoes, they've got some props from her videos. Mm-hmm. The displays are really cool.
Yep, you could buy t-shirts.
Some big video screens, you know, showing some of her videos and stuff too.
They have cards telling you what the outfit was, who designed it, what the occasion was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a really, really well done exhibit. Yes.
We went twice.
We did. And so if you're into her music or just into like music or, you know, are just kind of fascinated by her costuming, of course, her meat dress is there. It's now a jerky dress.
Yeah.
They've dried it out. It's
really cool to see some of the details of that up close, just how well designed it is. And one thing I liked is that the lighting kept changing.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of the dresses, they're iridescent or they've got sequins or metallic elements. And then that changes the way the dress looks.
I noticed that as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's right next to the theater at Park MGM. So if you're interested in that, it opens at like 12:30 every day, depending on the day.
Yeah.
The hours change, but I think every day is the opening time is the same. So there you go. And then we had one noteworthy for us, new experience that we did not expect at all when we were in Las Vegas.
Yep.
And it was as we were getting ready to leave, we experienced our first earthquake tremors. As of course you may have
heard. People from California are like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, it was noteworthy for us dorks from the Midwest who don't experience such things.
Yeah.
And it was odd. We were sitting at the airport waiting at the gate, and we both looked at each other. We both felt like the ground shaking.
It felt like someone was moving our row of chairs. Like someone was kicking them really hard or shaking them really hard.
And we both looked at each other, just kind of looked at each other, because there was no response from anybody else around us.
Mm-hmm.
We both looked at each other and were like, was that a... Yeah, I think that was.
And then the building started moving, and there was something weird visually about it.
Just a little bit. I don't know. I felt
vertigo, kind of.
I felt it mainly in my feet, just the rumble.
I felt like visually, it just... Things were off.
Yeah, I didn't notice that as much.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we had
our first... I have more motion sickness issues than you do, though.
We had our first earthquake.
Yeah.
It was it's kind of an achievement, in a way.
Well, a few people came up to the gate later and were like, oh my God,
we're
in an earthquake. But most people were just unfazed
by it.
Yeah.
So that was something new and different and unexpected. Yeah.
And that was the first one, because there was another one the next day that was even more...
Yeah. We got out before the worst one.
Yep.
So you never know what you're going to experience in Las Vegas. Sometimes the earth moves under your feet.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Should we do some phone calls?
Sure.
All right. We'll talk more about our trip next week. We have a few dining reviews.
Can we pause for like...
We can pause for like...
A minute.
And now we have unpaused and we are going to listen to some fine phone calls from some of you, our listeners.
Podcasting, Tim and Michelle, this is Drinking and Gambling, Derek from Indianapolis. I just met two of my new best friends and fellow 500 listeners, Marianne from Bourbon Country and Ryan. Ryan, we're sitting here at Chandelier at Cosmo, and we're new best friends. Y'all say hi.
Hey, Tim and Michelle.
That was good. Ryan didn't say very loud. But this is the first time in my mini Vegas trips that I've met other people from the podcast, so... your show is bringing people together. I'm drunk. Marianne's drunk. Pretty sure Ryan's drunk. It's like 9 o'clock in the morning. I honestly don't know what time it is. It's what Vegas is all about. So anyway, I've mentioned that I never called in sober and, still haven't called in sober. So maybe I'll call in later. Y'all say bye.
Bye.
Bye. All right. Bye. Love you.
Oh, it's fun when listeners meet.
Mm-hmm.
It's always so weird that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Weird thing. We get to meet some of our listeners when we were in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
We got to meet David from Louisiana.
Yes.
Longtime listener.
Yes.
You may recall many years ago, he challenged us to stay at El Cortez, and we did for mm-hmm. the first time. And we've been
staying downtown ever since.
And we got to meet the great, one of my favorite callers, the great Ian Dunk,
mm-hmm.
and his lovely wife, Laura.
Yep.
That was we had a lovely time chatting with them. I was a little starstruck myself on that one.
Mm-hmm.
That guy has the best calls. I hope that he calls during their trip. We haven't heard
so
from
too.
Him yet. Yeah. All right. Moving along.
Hey, Tim and Michelle. It's Tom from Santa Clarita, California. Wanted to call with a couple of show reviews. I went to something called the Magician's Study, which is held in a quote-unquote secret location, which is actually this odd, arty hotel off-strip. And you have to go online and ask for a password to buy your ticket. It's sort of a lot of mishigas, which is Yiddish for pain in the ass, to get your tickets. But once you get there, it's a very intimate close-up magic experience. Really great. The magician is fun, and the entire experience is really close up. And if you like that kind of magic, then it's for you. It does have some participation because card tricks require that sort of thing, but it's a unique show that I've never quite seen in Vegas before. The other thing I went to see is Zumanity, which may be the single worst show I've ever seen. Just really grating and loud, and although there is a high booby count, it's just dull, and in terms of circ comparisons, rather low budget. The only thing that saved it was the little person. That little person sure knows how to swing from a curtain. That's all I can say. But otherwise, a real drag. It's just not fun and actually pretty embarrassing. Tim, I think you particularly would hate it just for the humiliation of the participants. Even if you're sitting in the balcony, you just feel bad for them being there on stage, even if it's not you yourself. Anyway, I saw it for free thanks to MyVegas, but I would have walked out if not for the swinging little guy. So that's it. I might call back with more information otherwise. Love the podcast. Talk to you soon. Bye.
All right. Thanks for that report. We do appreciate it. I suppose I should mention that we heard a story from a friend of ours who ended up on stage.
At Opium. Which guarantees that you'll never, ever, ever go to that show.
Yes. It's not even an option anymore. And probably not Absinthe either. The crowd participation, the pulling people out of the audience who don't necessarily want to be pulled out of the audience.
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
Especially when you specifically request a seat where you're not going to be pulled up on stage.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I appreciate that those are wonderful productions.
Mm-hmm.
I do not need the humiliation and therefore am not going to be seeing those shows. I know they're wonderful. Everybody mm-hmm. tells us we should be seeing them.
Mm-hmm. Well, Zumanity. Maybe not.
I don't want to see Zumanity anyway.
No. Some people love it. Some people do not.
The Cirque shows are very controversial when it comes to, like, whenever somebody makes the mistake of posting on the Facebook group, which Cirque show is the best?
They
get a list of every Cirque show. Because some people love
people love Ka. They love the plot. They love the acrobatics. Some people love Love.
But then some people say, Love is, like, the least Cirque of the Cirque shows. I don't like that one. So it's
very,
individual thing.
Some people like because they like a good nap.
There you go. All right. Next caller.
Hey, Michelle and Tim. Trip report from a trip just completed here in late June. Went out to the World Series of Poker. The Rio is depressing, but we all know that. I want to talk about the Twilight Zone mini golf at Bally's. It's way in the back, and you have to really go looking for it. I never would have found it if I wasn't seeking it out, but I walked in there. I wasn't real impressed initially. It kind of was small and it didn't have a whole lot going on, but my goodness, it was fun. It was just the right amount of bizarre and something different to do on the strip. I highly recommend it. I highly recommend having a little bit of the weed before you go in there. That's a nice experience, but I just want to recommend it wholeheartedly to someone who wants to do something a little different on the strip. It's going to be on my to-do list going forward. I want to check out the one at the Rio, too, if it's still there going forward. But anyway, Twilight Zone is really cool. I hit a Royal Flush at the bar at the park. Hats off to bartender Charles for taking care of me with some champagne after that. All in all, great trip. Love your show. Take care.
All right. Thanks for that report. Thanks.
I can see where a little bit of the pot would enhance the Twilight Zone golf experience.
Yes, indeed. If you're not familiar with Bally's, if you've just wandered through there, you probably haven't gone downstairs. So there's a row of shops.
It's on the way to the monorail.
On the way to the monorail. The sports book is down there. Mm-hmm. And that's where you'll find the Twilight Zone mini golf. I think the Bodies exhibit, if that is still a thing, is down there. Or Real Bodies, one of those where they have posed stuff. So yes, that's where you'll find Twilight Zone. It's all the way to the back of the casino and then down the escalator. Okay. Next up.
Hey, Tim and Michelle. This is Joe from Los Angeles.
Hello.
Calling with a report of my back of the house tour of the Cosmopolitan. And you know, let me just say before I get to that, the Casino Royale, aka Best Western, by far has the best Players Club promotion. For every $100 that you play through, they give you a $20 promotion. By far the best. No one even comes close to that. So every $100 you play through, they pop another $20 promo on your card. So anyway, I took this behind-the-scenes tour of the Cosmopolitan that I first heard about on your show last year, and this is my second time, and it was just outstanding. The tour guide is an executive steward there at the hotel named Joe. Got a chance to go into the back of the restaurants, the Scarpetta kitchen, the secret pizza kitchen. He takes you back there, talks about how they do things. He gives you a layout of how the Cosmopolitan Resort is run, the business behind it. He gives you a whole history of Las Vegas in general. We got to go see behind the big banquet hall kitchens. We went to the Chelsea concert venue and got to go in there and see how they do things, along with the day club, the marquee. Just really fascinating stuff. You get to go down underneath the bowels of the hotel and visit the employee lunchroom, break room, and see how they do things down there. The whole time he's explaining the business side of the Cosmopolitan, how and why they do things. In addition to that, you go up to the pool area, and you get to see the pools and how they do things and how much these different types of things cost in the pool area. And let's see, we also went to a couple of their speakeasies. The barbershop has a speakeasy. The district, the food court has a speakeasy, so you get to go back there and he talks about those things. And I didn't know this, but they have a wedding suite as well on the 36th floor where they conduct weddings. You got to go up there and check that out. So overall, like I said, this is my second time doing the tour. It was different the first time, so it was well worth it. I found it on Airbnb for about $50, and definitely would do it again. So there it is, guys. Thank you.
All right, thanks for that report. We've had a couple positive reviews of that tour. Mm-hmm. I wonder, to get to the 36th floor wedding suite, do you have to go through a housekeeping closet?
The speakeasy wedding suite?
Yeah.
All right. That sounds really interesting, though, just hearing some of the business side things and seeing the back of house that most people don't get to see.
Yeah, cool. Cool, something different. All right, let's check in with Eric again.
Tim and Michelle, it's Eric from Indianapolis. Just got back from 5 days in Vegas. We stayed at the Golden Gate. I'm actually doing a trip report sober. I'm not sure I've ever done that. But we stayed at the Golden Gate for the first time, got one of their little suites. It was nice, first time that we'd stayed there. I'm just kind of a bed and a shower guy in terms of a Vegas hotel room, but it was a nice bed and it was a nice shower. But that was one thing we did that we had never done. We also went to go see the Neon Museum. We did the guided tour and the Brilliant show, the combined ticket. It was awesome. It was one of my favorite things that I've ever done down there. If you have any sort of interest or nostalgia for Vegas history, that was a very enjoyable experience, at least in my opinion. I met a couple of fellow 500 listeners at the Chandelier Bar while my wife was in the spa. So shout out to them if they're listening. I'm friends with them on Facebook. I'm blanking on their names right now. I'm really sorry about that. But I know we called in, right? That's right, Ryan and Marianne, I think. I know we called in, and I'm really looking forward to hearing that call and hearing whatever it was I said. I have no clue. But we saw Aerosmith at the Park Theater. That was the main reason we went out. I called it the Summit practice trip, but the main reason we went out was to go see Aerosmith. First time I'd been in Park Theater. In terms of sight lines, I don't think there's a bad seat in that place, but the seats themselves are not very big. I don't know if that's been mentioned before, but I can agree with that. So anyway, fun time all around. We'll be back out there in October for the Summit. Bye.
All right. Look forward to seeing you in October.
Yes.
Glad you had a good experience. Yeah, we heard from a couple different people during this trip that the Aerosmith show was really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
So, and one thing, if you are considering going, wait till the day of the show and they throw a lot of the VIP tickets back into the mix on Ticketmaster and you can get a seat very, very close for about, well, with fees and stuff, about $300, mm-hmm. which normally...
If you don't already have tickets, yeah, that is.
Normally you're looking at paying $300 for a high up seat.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a bad way to go if you don't mind waiting until the day of.
Yeah.
All right. So one of the things that happened in Las Vegas, we were there at the same time as our friend Misnomer,
who also went to see Aerosmith.
And he had worse gambling than I did.
Oh man.
Things did not go well. And he was completely, if you were following him on Twitter, you may have seen he was completely tapped out during his last night of the trip.
He was counting the minutes till he could go to the ATM.
And we rescued him and bought him dinner that night. And that leads to this call.
Hey, Ed, that's your friend, Ms. Nomer. I just want to thank you for hooking me up in my time of need with all the meat at, I think it's called Happy Ending. I don't know what the restaurant's called. Hang on a second. It's called Best Friend. I wanted to thank you for that because you're a good person. So both of you are good people. Thank you for hooking me up. I made it. I'm going to survive. Thank you for the meat. So, goodbye. Love you. Goodbye.
We will review Best Friend next week on the show.
Yes.
And our experience there. It's the least we could do for a friend. It was a good time.
Mm-hmm. It was fun.
All right. So, next week we'll have some more trip stuff. In the meantime, we've got some Karma donations to thank some folks for this week, including Jay with Karma donation. Thank you, Jay. Thank you. Ted with a Karma donation for a trip. He was, looks like he was there, might still be there, upcoming 4th of July, 43rd birthday trip.
Hopefully, happy birthday.
You had a wonderful birthday and a good time. I think he arrived right as we were leaving. Matt and Gail arriving on the 30th, one night at the downtown Grand and two nights at Cosmo. We're supposed to give Max a belly rub for some extra good luck.
We can do that.
He'll get plenty. He's been getting a lot of attention since we got home.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Crow, Karma donation for a Vegas trip with his wife to celebrate their 20th anniversary, going back after a 3-year absence.
Wow.
Happy anniversary and have a wonderful trip. Christina with a World Series of Poker main event Karma donation.
Good luck.
She's been posting updates on the Facebook group. She's still in after 3 days. Looks like our chip count was down a little bit, but I think I've got a good feeling she's going to rebound. Keep it up, Christina. Michael, about to embark on an NBA Summer League trip with his boys. Appreciate all the tips. Let's see, Ka, Neon Museum, and some strolling and a lot of basketball. We'll have a great time.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good time for all involved.
Hopefully earthquakes won't interrupt any more of the games.
Yeah, did you see that video?
Yeah.
Yeah. Adam and Brandy, Karma donation for a honeymoon trip, which begins today.
Yay.
Congratulations. Davis and Kami said, thanks for the podcast. Heading out to Vegas for the 4th. Hope you had a good time. Ryan and Carrie need some of that sweet karma for our yearly 14th annual trip, celebrating 20 years this time. I'm assuming anniversary thing.
Yep.
Time flies when you're married. Thanks for the podcast, as it has been the next best thing to being in Vegas. Aw, thank you. What else? Brian from North Carolina, solo trip next week. Forgot to do it last time, and I think Caesar's management is juggling my balls for sport. Well, that doesn't sound good at all.
No.
Hoping for a comeback. Well, good luck.
Yes, hope thank you, have a wonderful everyone. Time. Hope you all have great luck.
Yeah, thanks so much for all your support. We do appreciate it. All right, we're going to wrap things up. 500bymidnight.com is the website. You can send your Tim and Michelle questions to 500@gmail.com. You can find us both on Twitter. I'll be there mocking women's soccer. I am 500. She is Anita Martini. She wouldn't do such a thing because she's a much better person than I am. Of course, you can find it. You can call our voicemail line anytime, day or night, 702-866-9494. We'd love to hear from you. Call with your reviews and observations. As always, thanks for listening, emailing, commenting, and calling. We do appreciate it, and we hope you have a wonderful week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.